Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome along to another D Word podcast. There have been a lot of positive developments using technology, and this week my guest is Xavier Louis, who used his knowledge of computer gaming to develop the Five Lives app, which assesses risk of developing dementia, but also provides activities and information to improve brain health.
Well, Xavier, it's a pleasure to have you as my guest on the D Word. Going to be talking about Five Lives, going to be talking about the app and lots of things. And before we get into all of that, can you, just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in this area of work?
Sure. So I'm Xavier Louis, actually a French guy who lived in London for close to 19 years with my family. I'm actually a background more in video games. I worked for close to 10 years in the video games industry, building some new games franchise, making things fun and engaging. And about 10 years ago, I built my first startup. It was initially in the education space. I was building games to help people learn math in a fun way. And a few years later, I moved from education to health. And I built an application that was called Peak Brain Training, that was games to train, improve memory, attentions, reasoning skills. That has been actually a great success. We had more than 60 million downloads at the time, one of the leading self-improvement apps on the App Store for many years, and sold the company to a large French publishing company in 2017. And 3 years later, I wanted to go one step further into health, and especially around Alzheimer's and dementia. I'm sure we're going to talk about it more in the details. But yeah, background in games, kind of a mobile app entrepreneur for close to 10 years, and very passionate about Alzheimer's and other dementia.
And am I right in saying that you actually carry one of the genes that puts you at a higher risk of dementia?
That's correct. I carry one variant of the APOE4 genes, which give me kind of three times more chance to develop dementia, which obviously has been a key trigger for me to work in the space. But also, I learned quite a lot from my days at Peak in my previous company about the impact of I would say games, engagement, brain training around multiple, actually I would call it brain conditions, including Alzheimer's and dementia. And I learned about how we could use actually that knowledge we've got in engagement gamifications to help millions of people with the conditions. Sad irony, at the same time I started a company, actually my dad unfortunately got diagnosed with dementia. So let's say I've had experience, unfortunately, as family-wise, as a carer, also supporting my mom, brothers and sisters about, taking care of my dad. So I've had the experience both from a professional standpoint, but unfortunately also at a personal level.
Yeah, so, there's a lot of experience there already behind the app. Why an app to start with, I suppose, would be the question. Looking at a subject like dementia, sometimes people don't feel technology would be appropriate. People feel you're dealing with usually people at the, the latter end of the age scale. What made you think about an app?
Sure. So we've been building an app called the Five Lives app or Brain Health Platforms. And one of the key triggers, actually on the scientific side, there's quite a lot of strong scientific evidence that multi-domain interventions actually could lead to reductions in the risk of dementia, improvement in lifestyle, improvement in brain performance. There's great studies from the Fingers Brain Health Institute that has demonstrated that you could have a very strong positive impact on cognitions and the reduced risk of dementia. And actually, we've been working with them and partnering with the Fingers Brain Health Institute and see if we could actually deliver mobile interventions helping with improving people's lifestyle, brain performance, and on the line, reducing the risk of dementia. And the app has been built into two big blocks. One block is really about a fully fledged brain health assessment, including assessment of your lifestyle in relations to brain health, assessment of your brain performance, memory, attention, executive functions, and your risk of developing dementia in the next 10 to 15 years, which is based on the machine learning algorithms. And this is feeding into a personalized coaching programs, including helping people to form healthy habits. That's why actually we're called Five Lives, kind of the five key pillars of brain health, and help people really boost their cognitive performance and then reduce the risk of dementia. And if you look at the study from the Lancet 2020, it shows that actually 12 risk factors or modifiable risk factors accounts for close to 40% of the risk of dementia cases. So actually, if we're helping people working on this specific modifiable risk factors, we could help reduce the number of cases of dementia by up to 40%. So in some ways, actually, applications can be one, it's not the only one solutions to help people have less risk of developing dementia.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
This is the D Word podcast, where we talk dementia.
Well, I think it's a, you know, it's an interesting area to be in now, because if we were talking probably even 5 years ago, we wouldn't have been thinking about all these interventions that we can actually make. And I guess, you know, the audience that you're aiming at with the app can be anybody, aren't they? We're not just talking, you know, people in their 60s or whatever. It's good for everybody.
Yes, because actually these modifiable risk factors could start from a very early age. So actually, the earlier, the better. There's no, in some ways, the best day to start was yesterday, and some days is today. I think it's really everyone actually has got the opportunity to and access actually these solutions early on. So obviously, we all hope in the future there'll be a number of drugs that could help with, you know, alleviating dementia. But at the same time, we have already a number of very accessible, affordable tools, digital tools to help, you know, maximizing your brain health and reduce the risk of dementia. We have had above 70,000 people who have actually downloaded and tried the applications today in the UK, or so far in the UK. The average age is actually 60, but the number of users range from 35 to 70. But the interest in brain health can start from a very early age. One usually of the trigger, it could be actually someone having family members, neighbors, friends who might have developed the conditions and ask themselves, oh, what about me? And usually it's there's been a strong trigger to do the brain health assessment, and then work with the coach to do something about it. Because one of the big, urban legends we are fighting on every day is actually you can't do anything about it. And so we're actually scientific evidence and tools like Five Lives and others, we're not the only one, actually can help people do something about it today. So.
I think your numbers have probably gone up to 70,001 because I've downloaded it and tried it. And firstly, congratulations. It's very easy. You know, it's nice. You can do it your own way. It's very personal and sort of very easy to go through. I suppose the only thing that, you know, I thought before I did it, what would my reaction be if my risk was very high? And, you know, your immediate reaction might be to be a little bit frightened. But then when I looked at the way the app was made, it was almost, well, you've got a high risk, but as you've just been saying, we can do something about it.
Yes. So three things on this one. So first, the way the app is being designed, our chief medical officer is actually a clinical psychologist from the University of Oxford, who is actually seeing patients with Alzheimer's dementia every day. So in some ways, it has been built and designed in collaborations with the medical world. So in some ways, the way we communicate about your level of risk is kind of medically approved, in the same way that if you were meeting or seeing your doctors and you have some news to share, is something which would be prepared and so on. So it's the first thing. Second, it's not actually a diagnostic tool. So we're not going to tell someone, oh, you have dementia, but it's really about your level of risk, your brain health. And the key purpose is really the what's next. How do we use that data to help people make some changes? We could have actually a very positive impact on their brain health. And the assessment is really there only to feed into the personalized coaching. So really the value proposition is really to help people get sharper, really to help them maximize their brain health and to give them, really to empower millions of users to have the tools to make something about it.
And I think that, you know, there are payoffs to, you know, not only brain health, but general health. You know, I've answered questions about cardiovascular health, about alcohol intake, about smoking. So, you know, it's not just dementia, is it? It's a healthy lifestyle in a lot of respects.
Yes. So actually, brain health, let's say, is a strong trigger to help people make a change. That said, this positive change that could be on, you know, on their nutrition level, the amount of physical exercise, reducing cardiovascular risk, will have actually even greater benefits on general health. And actually, the finger studies I was mentioning earlier have demonstrated in 2 years programs that it could reduce comorbidities by more than 60%. So technically, you could have one, a very strong impact on your brain health, but second, a very positive impact on the overall lifestyle. And for instance, improved nutrition will reduce risk of obesity, diabetes, cardiovascular risk. So it's more like a double benefits in some ways. But we use really the kind of the brain health initial trigger as a way to drive people to make change, because it's hard to make people make a change. So, and in some ways, this is where we really comes into play, because we have our experience in consumer engagement, gamifications, want to make things fun, engaging, and to make sure people make sustainable changes. Because if they make a change but it's not sustainable, you're not going to benefit from it at long term. So we're really here to help people make sustainable, long-term lifestyle changes that will have a very positive impact on their life.
And, you know, you say change is difficult, which I think, you know, we all agree with. And on your website, I saw a couple of bits of really good academic research, particularly the one about barriers to brain health behaviours. That's a subject that people are always saying to us, well, do this, it's good, do that, it's good, or do the other, it's good. But it's probably the first time I've actually seen something where I sat down and read it and thought, well, you know, there are plenty of reasons why people can't do these things, and people don't seem to analyze that too much.
Yes, that's great. We run research using the Five Lives data in collaboration with Trinity College Dublin. And we've published about what are the barriers for people to make changes to their lifestyle. Because we mentioned cardiovascular, we mentioned about obesity, people are, and for some actually risk factors, people also are aware, and it's hard for them to make a change even being aware. So we can look at all the other aspects which are driving or not driving people to make these changes. But there's also a number of, I would call it lifestyle or lack of awareness. I think that was one of the 12 modifiable risk factors for dementia. For instance, there's one that was very not known by the community. For instance, it was untreated hearing problems. And actually, people don't tend to treat it very well. So actually, we should get tested. We should, if you have actually a hearing problem, we should make sure to treat it. But it was some factors where people actually had a very little awareness that it was actually a driving force behind dementia. So I think first to educate people and drive the awareness of the overall number of factors. And second, it's more, okay, how do we make people make a change when they're aware of that? And actually, application has been a big driver of that by making things fun and engaging, because it's hard to stick to changing habits over a long period of time. And the way the app has been designed, for instance, that combinations of healthy habits formations and gamification, brain training games, helping people train, improve, you know, memory, attention, reasoning skills, is actually that engagement factor is a very strong driving force to people, to drive people back into the applications. And sometimes I tend to call it the sausage and the pill. I've got a dog. He wouldn't take the meds. I have to give him on a monthly basis, but I put the med in the sausage and eat it straight away. And actually our gamifications elements is really the sausage. People are very happy to eat it. It's tasty and people easily come back to it. But we want to make sure we put enough meds in it. And the med is really the healthy habit formation. And we've seen hundreds of applications helping to trying to drive healthy habit formations. It can work actually in the labs, maybe if you look at the scientific review, but it's very hard for users in real life to do it. And actually for us, by combining that healthy habit formations and the gamifications coming from the brain training games, is a very unique force of Five Lives to help people make a change. And we've seen it. People are actually in the first 30 days of using the applications, they do like 50 coaching activities. So 50% of them will be the games, but 50% will be the non-games, articles, tips, advice, awareness elements. And after a month, we see users using the applications reporting better sleep, like 30 minutes more of sleep per day, eating 1.3 fruit and veg more per day, reduce anxiety, 0.5 on a scale of 1 to 10, 10% more physical exercise per week. So technically, it means, the games itself will be good for mental stimulation, but it's not going to drive the physical activity. But people coming back to the app to enjoy the games benefit from all the tips and advice and healthy habit formations and make actually real changes outside of the applications. And this is for us really what has been a key elements of success, or I would say what wake us up in the morning to help millions of people go through this change. Because if we are really able to make these strong lifestyle improvements, help people have better memory, attention, you know, reasoning skills down the line, help people live longer, live better for longer. And I think there's a good example of the recent docu-series on Netflix about the secret of the blue zones. And I still remember that was done in 2009. There was an experiment done in the US, a city of 10,000 inhabitants. And they apply some of these lifestyle changes, which was good for people. And they managed in a year to improve the life expectancy of the populations of 3 years just by applying tools which are available to everyone. But driving awareness, giving the right tools, keep it engaged is really what can help the masses in some ways benefit from it. So that's really what's driving us.
I like the sausage analogy. I think that that works very well. It strikes me that you've got something here that's it's very usable, very important. And I think that the other thing for me is reading the stuff on your website, looking at the studies, etc. It's really important that the information is backed by science. So if someone wants to look at it and find out where it's come from, then there's the links and you can go back to the science, and that gives you a lot more confidence.
Yeah, that's correct. We were strong on the consumer engagement, but we're also as strong on the scientific, and it's really grounded in science. First, from our research collaborations, we have actually a strong research collaboration with the University of Oxford. Chief Medical Officer is coming from Oxford. We run a number of research with Oxford University. At the same time, we're also partners from the Fingers Brain Health Institute. We actually have a number of two research going on with them. Want to make sure that what we provide and deliver for users is useful, but also the best that we want to expect from that type of solutions. As a result, actually, we are what we call a class one medical device. So we are actually registered as a medical device, and which is in some ways a seal of trust that the product itself is based on strong science, also in the way we manipulate health data. And for sure, not only with consumers, with the various health partners we work with, and to make sure we are the best possible partners.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
My guest on the podcast this time is Xavier Louis, and we're talking about the Five Lives app.
And I think, you know, talking of best possible partners, it kind of strikes me that this is the kind of application that people go to their doctors, they get a lifestyle MOT sometimes, and surely kind of, you know, using this type of technology on that sort of basis in the NHS would be incredibly helpful.
We would love, and actually we're strong believers that everyone should have like a yearly brain MOT, in the same way as you have like a yearly breast cancer, you know, a campaign, and you want to make sure from a specific age people get to see on a monthly basis. Unfortunately, it's not happening yet in the NHS. One of the reasons is actually the lack of official drugs treatments. There's actually very limited clinical pathways because there's actually nothing to recommend today to users. There's no treatments. And unfortunately, that was a research done by Alzheimer Research UK, which about what is the usual reaction of GPs when someone comes with a memory problems. And actually the majority, it was 60% of the GPs, were in the listen, don't act. So they will acknowledge about your memory problems. They will send you back home with nothing to do, and more about, okay, come back in a few years' time for a diagnosis when it will be too late. So it means that today, fortunately, you can be sent back home with no solutions, no tools. But we believe in years from now, the world where actually your GPs would listen to your problems will actually send you back home with the solutions, with a way to drive awareness, tools to make some changes right now. Because it's unfortunate that people are sent back home with nothing to do, which means actually more anxiety, more stress, untreated memory problems, which actually can drive even more comorbidities. So we start to see today more interest from direct consumer and the populations directly. We start to work with a number of health partners, for instance, like insurances, which are actually some of them starting to drive preventions, and actually a number of digital solutions that could help with preventions to move in some way from sick care to health care. If we can help the general populations to be healthier and actually have less occurrences of a number of conditions, work for dementia and work for other type of conditions. Down the line, yes, but the NHS or other health system in the world would embrace that type of digital solutions, which would be at the end affordable and accessible to everyone. So there's no need to wait. And that's really the one thing we are fighting for, to really drive the awareness of solutions like us. We're not the only one. It's really to help people on the market to make sure there's our type of products are in more people's hands and actually see the benefits. So one day, maybe in the NHS.
And it just seems to me that it's all coming together. But as you say, it's like a bit of a jigsaw where all the pieces need to connect.
Yes, we talk with a lot of other innovators or in the industry, trying to bring, you know, a number of innovative solutions in the early stage at diagnosis or at treatment. We have obviously a lot of hope in the next few years that everything will come together. It's hard, for sure. But we also believe in the next 2 to 3 years, when potentially new drugs, maybe finally approved and available in the market. It will also change the clinical pathways, the way memory problems or risk of dementia will be taken care of at point of GPs, because it will be actually the start of a clinical pathways. And in some ways, our expectation will be that in a few years' time, it will be a bit more like maybe what the cancer clinical pathway is, and there'll be actually overall better care end-to-end. There's a lot of things you can do to mitigate, reduce the risk of developing cancer. But then there's also a proper diagnosis, and then there's a treatment. But I think it feels to me that today, unfortunately for Alzheimer and dementia, we're still 15, 20 years behind where cancer treatment is. But it's also can give us hope and the pictures of how the way it could be in the future. And people actually involved in providing or willing to provide better care is very hopeful, but we'll go there. But it needs a lot of driving forces and push to get the world out there. You know, first is actually awareness.
And in terms of your contracts, the contacts with people in the rest of the world, do you see them kind of looking at it in the same way as you, or are you unique in what you're doing? Or
so we obviously we're live in the UK. We're live also in Germany. We're live in Australia, and we see the type of solutions we provide digital could be accessible in the future everywhere in the world. Obviously, as it's a registered medical device, we have to follow a number of rules and patterns to be available in the various markets. So there's a lot of work on the compliance and accessibility. But we are working towards that, and we really want to, that solutions like us is available everywhere. There is, we're not the only one, as I mentioned earlier, there's a number of other applications, competitors or other partners trying to bring that type of information to market. I think our unique way is really the engagement and gaming elements, a bit of a sausage part, but which for us makes it unique and actually drive better results, not only in the labs or from the scientific research point of view, but also in the real world. And we want to have real world impact. So in some way, we believe we are the best equipped in some ways to deliver and help millions of users. And we see we started back to 3 years ago in the UK, and believe it should be accessible everywhere. So and working hard towards that.
Yeah, and I guess it's dripping in, isn't it? So people will actually realise. We have big announcements about drugs, this year, and we probably have moved on in this year more than we have done in the last decade or two decades in terms of drug treatments. But you're actually right in saying that we need to get diagnosis earlier so that those treatments can work. And I guess part of getting diagnosis earlier, I can see, is one, risk factor, and two, is then knowing when to go to a GP and say, well, look, I've got this problem. And as you say, then the GP putting them in the right direction. So, again, I still feel we're a bit of a way away from that.
Yes, yeah, still. Obviously, we discuss with a lot of people in the industry, including, for instance, some of the pharma company actually developing these drugs. They tend to see actually Alzheimer's dementia a bit more like a chronic conditions, potentially. Not that you will be taking treatments when you've been diagnosed, but potentially when you have been identified as high risk, you might be starting to have a drug treatment at this time. And actually, this is probably where it will be the most effective, because you'll be in the earlier stage. And actually, applications like us are able to identify high level of risk as early on as possible. And actually, you could become potentially eligible to specific treatments that will actually reduce, slow down cognitive decline all your life. So it might be not, you've been diagnosed and fortunately you have to take the treatment. It might be something you might be taking all your life. Maybe similar to diabetes in some ways, but the earlier the better. So I think for sure, if we're able to give the tools also to other company or partner to develop effective drugs, that will be at the earlier stage. That will be also a great path forward. But in some ways, I think the data of 5 lives, first, yes, it can be a very effective tool to reduce the risk, but at the same time, could be also a way to accelerate other type of treatments in the earlier stage of the conditions. But for sure, it's more how can we identify as early as possible someone who might be at high level of risk. And you mentioned the brain MOT earlier. It's exactly what we could do. And we really want to have really that very in-depth brain health assessment inside MOT. And then, okay, what do you do? What part of the car you change? But there's really a number of effective interventions and proven scientifically interventions that you could use to minimize, reduce the risk of the condition. In some ways, making sure the car, you know, drive, run for longer. So.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, just to finish off, the one thing I kind of see is that this is being driven by people like yourselves, the industry and insurance companies, not perhaps so much medical professionals at the moment.
So we work with obviously a number of mentioned partners like health insurance and pharma company or even services related to seniors. We do work actually quite a lot. We're also with the academic research world. I mentioned the University of Oxford. I will mention obviously the Fingers Brain Health Institute, which is really coming from really the medical world and which have actually proven the efficacy of, you know, lifestyle interventions on reducing the risk of dementia. And this is really that type of work, which are kind of really a strong base to the type of work we want to do. How do we almost digitalize it, make it more accessible, affordable to everyone? That's why I believe there's actually I would say there's hope and an opportunity to help people ASAP now. I think we can help really people today. It could be potentially even better in a couple of years when potentially drugs comes to market, but I see it almost as complementary. And you should be able to potentially benefit from taking some of the drugs if you're eligible. But at the same time, the type of solutions helping with better brain health could be done before and after. So I think it's really something which should be a good habit to do throughout your life. So so in some ways, the more users or people we help, the more the words get out there. As it can become in some ways the number one brain health platform solutions or interventions for really people to make a change.
Well, I think that's a very good message to leave us with. Thank you so much. It's been fascinating. I've learned a lot. I think the app is excellent. I will continue to down my path of exploring it. And thank you so much for being my guest.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure to discuss with you today. And speak soon.
Many thanks to Xavier, and you can find out more about the 5 Lives app at 5lives.health/app. Well, that's it for another edition of the podcast. Hope you'll join me again soon for more Dementia Talk.